Everyone, and thank you for being here, being the last session. If I was you, I would be already on the beach taking some tacos or something, but thank you. And this is a work in collaboration with colleagues at TU Berlin, Zoe Gaudi, and colleagues from Qatar Computing Research Institute. It's Bertie and Saravanan. I will try to keep the talk short so that we all go to lunch. So basically, since Thursday, basically, we have seen many exciting topics going on in data analytics, on big data in general. And that's all cool. We are very excited on all this. But then when we talk about debugging, so the proof is that debugging, the last session was debugging. So it's not that exciting as all the other topics, but it's quite important as other topics. So, and unfortunately, we don't have many works on this area in how to debug your big data flows. So that's this work is about this, and let's see basically what is going on. So basically, as I said, even if it's not that exciting topic, there are several studies that showed that developers can spend up to 50% of their time when developing their new applications. So it takes a lot of time, right? And this, of course, it takes you a lot of time to go to the real insights you want to get from your data, and wasting resources as well when you are debugging all these applications. And of course, this has also a cost in terms of monetary cost. So it's very expensive because you are spending a lot of engineering resources for debugging your applications. And basically, debugging is a never-ending task. It is always going on debugging when you insert new features and so on and so forth. And the main problem for debugging data flow applications is that we are not using the right tools. Basically, whoever is using Eclipse or IntelliJ, it will put, for example, some kind of watch points or breakpoints in your code so that you can analyze what is the real status of your program at a particular state. So you are checking the values of each of the variables in your program, line per line or wherever you put these breakpoints. And these great tools, and it works perfectly for small data and single machines, right? But as soon as you go to distributed and for big data, this is impossible. You cannot go line per line and tuple per tuple and machine per machine. You need to do it in a more systematic manner. So this is because there are several tricks that you will find on the web on how to debug your data flow applications. So if you go to the blog of, for example, Databricks, you will have like a 7 or 10 different tips on how to do it. And all this basically is about trying to take in samples on instrumenting your code. But it still is hard to spot the error if you are taking a small sample, and because maybe you are not taking the part of the data that is causing your application to fail. So, and the main point is that because we are doing some code debugging for something that is more data debugging, meaning that the problem comes from the interplay between your code and your data. An example of this, it can be as simple as your data has some date field, and you are expecting that field being in a particular format, but it's not, and then your code, it won't work. So that is the interplay you may have, or some particular null values that you, a particular value in your data, it causes you a null pointer exception, for example. You want to know what is that tuple that caused that problem. So that's basically what data debugging is. And as I said, with Databricks, that they already give you some tricks and it's still sampling your data, instrumenting your code, and if the problem doesn't appear, sample again or increase your data sample and so on and so forth, right? This is, again, it's time-consuming to do and it's done to fail. So in other words, we're in the need for a data debugging tool in some systems that give us the means of systematically debug our data flow applications. So there are several studies that show the common tasks that you have in data debugging. I already mentioned like two of those, but you also have, for example, for profiling the performance of your applications. Suddenly, you have a job that you were expecting to run in 10 minutes, and is running for 45 minutes and it still doesn't finish. So the way you will do it, you will try to seize out the timeouts or where the time is going in that application, and then go to the logs and check and so on and so forth. That's a very common data debugging task. And there are already some efforts on trying to tackle all this, and everything is fine. There is nothing wrong with this. But these tools, they are focusing on particular problems. For example, some, they are focusing on kind of like a tracing back and forward the tuples, like a kind of like a provenance. Some others in performance profiling. Some others to deal with crash culprits. That means there is a particular tuple in your data that makes your application to fail. But there is not a general tool that allows you to support all this and any ad hoc debugging task that you may have. So we observe that whatever is the data debugging task, there are three steps that you will always do. First, you will instrument your code, right, to try to collect some statistics and understand better your code with respect to the data that you are being processing. And then, after you generate all these logs or statistics, you will go through that data and analyze to try to figure out where the bug could be. What exactly is going wrong. And once you spot it, you act. That means you fix that error, right? And in most of the cases, fixing that error is basically not difficult. The main problem is to spot the error, right? I'm sure that many of you already spent hours and hours debugging an application that you say, wow, it's not running, and what is the problem? And then you find the error and say, oh, damn it. And you solve it in 10 seconds, right? So that's the main problem, how you instrument that in a fast way and how you find quickly those bugs. And that's what this work is about. So our idea, first of all, we separate this, what is instrumentation and debugging. So on the left hand side, you have your data flow job. What we come up is with some kind of like a wrappers to these operators in your data flow so that we can instrument your code. And then every time this instrumented code or tuples go or flow through the data flow, we inspect if there is something going on that we need to react to these tuples. For any tuple that we need to react, then we send it to another site for debugging. And there, basically, we have the fixing or further analysis for trying to spot the bug that your code may have. So basically, that's the idea. And let me go into details. So first of all, let's focus on the instrument and find. So for this, basically, we propose a new model for data debugging. So we try to abstract all these debugging tasks that we have today in a model that you can easily implement also your own data debugging task. So the necessary data for that is first support, of course, for all the common debugging tasks, and very important, to be very simple to code. We don't want to spend time instrumenting our code. We need to do it in a very easy and flexible manner. That means flexible, that even if we are supporting the common task, you may have your own debugging task that you want to implement. So this framework or model should support it as well. So here's the primitive. First is the tag, as the name saying, is to annotate the tuples. So as input, you will get a tuple, and you will output that tuple already with some annotations. So basically, let's assume that you are looking for null values. It's simple what you will do also in your code. You will check if that tuple contains a null, you will tag it with some annotation. In this case, for example, if contains a null, you want the application to pause, to make a pause so that you can inspect that tuple. So the tuple that we're talking about here is a debugging tuple. So it's the original tuple that is on the green part. It's all your attributes. Can be, here is attributes, but can be any unstructured data with some annotations, and annotations that you will be adding on the fly. An example of this, like if it's a null value, you have the input tuple John Smith, and you have a null in the third attribute. In that case, you will output that same tuple with the annotation pose. We will see afterwards what the system will do with this debugging tuple. So once you instrument your job, then you need to find. That means you need to say to the system to react to possible events that happen in your data flow. So that is the sniff operator that gets as input a tuple and just output a boolean. Meaning if your tuple contains, for example, a specific annotation they are looking at, in that case we will output true. And the system, again, will react to this. An example is, taking the example above, is just simple. We receive the same debugging tuple already annotated, and that we will output true. Basically, this is the framework, only these two primitives. And with these two primitives, we can easily implement any debugging task. We will see later on how the system is doing this. But let me give you another example. Let's assume you have the word count. And for this word count, you want the application to be posing, or to make a pose every 10,000 tuples. In that case, your tag function will have just a simple condition where you will get the identifier and will check if it's one of these 10,000s, either the tuple 10,000, 20,000, and so on and so forth. And in that case, you will add a particular annotation. This annotation may be predefined already on the system, or maybe your own annotations. For example, in this one, you may say, hey, take a look here. And then it's up to you to decide how you want to react to this particular annotation. And then in the sniff, basically we are looking for the annotations of interest. That's basically the idea for this example. So another example, again, is if you want to log all those tuples containing null values, so that after, when your application finish to execute, you go to the logs and try to see why these tuples, they have null values, and then you can think on how to correct them. In that case, again, we have the same condition as before. We check if there is a null value in the tuple. Then we generate a tuple ID. And in the cases where the tuple doesn't have a unique identifier, but in many cases already comes with a unique identifier, and just put it in the metadata, the identifier, and we put the tag log. So this annotation, in the sniffer, we are looking for this annotation, and just we send it out for logging. And again, we will explain how our system is implementing all these kind of tricks. So for that, that's the model. That's those two primitives that we have. Now let's see how we need to support this on a system. So, and then how we also act or fix these kind of tuples. And that's the Snoopy system. It's a data debugging tool that implement the tag sniff model on Spark by using our system RIM. And here is the architecture. Basically, as we saw before, we have two parts, the instrumentation and the debugging part. Here the system, the instrumentation will do it in place, meaning that we'll use instrument the code directly in your production clusters. Wherever your job is running, is there that we are directly instrumenting. You don't have to take the job and put it in your local machine or so. And then as soon as we find something that we need to analyze, we need to do some further analysis or fix, in that case we send it out of place, meaning to other nodes that are not part of the production cluster for doing this debugging. So basically this is the two parts that the system has, and let's now see how it's implementing each of these. So if we take back again the example of posing every 10,000 tuples, here we see the tag, and that tag, as we mentioned, is already some kind of like a wrapper on your operators in the data flow. In this case, the source operator, that one is gonna contain the wrapper where we will implement or execute this particular tag function. And the system can execute it right before your UDF or right after your UDF. And the UDF here is, for example, on Spark, is the lambda expression you've sent to that particular operator. In the map function, you sent a lambda expression. So before executing this lambda expression, we run the tag, and after executing, we also run the tag. By default, we run it just before. If you want to do some performance analysis, in that case, you can specify to run it before and after, so as to check how long it took that tuple on that particular UDF. So basically, that's how it's implemented. This doesn't require any changes in the source code of the underlying platform. And so for the sniffer, our main goal is not to modify the underlying platform. So what we did to implement the sniffer is to use a normal execution or normal operator of Spark. And in this case, we use a flat map. And every time we have tuples going from one operator to another, we have this flat map inspecting those tuples, so as to see if there is some annotations that we need to react. In this example, we have it right after the map. And what we do is internally, in that operator, we will have the sniff function that will tell us, yes, you need to react or not. In case we don't need to react, we simply go to the inject component, and we put it back into the normal data flow, and we continue running. But in case we need to react, in that case, we check what kind of actions we need to do. The system supports three kinds of action. The send out, that means we take that tuple out from the data flow, and we send it out to the out-of-place debugging so that we can do further analysis or fix that tuple. The second action is skip the tuple. That means if contains a null value, you don't want your system to crash, so you will just take it out from the data flow so that your job can finish. And the third action is the job halt. That means we create some pauses for you to analyze intermediate data or any kind of analysis you would like to do. So how is really implemented? So again, this, they are going to grappers, and this sniffer, as soon as we say that we need to react, it will take that out and we'll send it, for example, using a Kafka, we'll send it to a Kafka queue, and then later on, you can plug your own Spark jobs to debug those tuples. And that is basically how the framework works. But of course, you may wonder, if you are analyzing every single tuple, what is the overhead you are creating? Right? And this is basically the experiments. This experiment we showed for the word count and the joint task, that is a TPCH query tree, basically, and we have more queries on the paper, that the overhead is always less than 10%. Why is so low? For two reasons. One, the real debugging is done out of place. It's not done where this job is running. So there is not overhead of doing this. But you may wonder, but you are annotating the task, the job, I mean the tuple, sorry. So yes, we are annotating, but every time, on every single operator, when one operator will send the tuple to the next one, we always clean those metadata. And why we clean it? Because when it passes through the sniffer, if the sniffer figures out that it has something to do, it takes an action and sends us out. But then you clean it because you already react to those annotations. That is why we can clean it. And if there is nothing to do, in that case, we just clean it and send it to the next because everything is going fine. So basically, these annotations has a very short time of life. That basically is before executing your UDF and after being inspected by the sniffer. That is why the overhead is very low. And in terms of scalability, that means when we increase the number of sniffers, remember the sniffers are the flap operators between the normal operators of Spark. So as if you have a data flow containing 10 operators, you will have 9 sniffers. So it's very important to see how our system reacts to this. And we figured out that it doesn't matter the number of sniffers, the overhead is also very low. And basically, because of the two reasons I already gave you. And in terms of nodes as well, it's completely independent of the size of your cluster. So in summary, data debugging, even if it's not that exciting, is an important problem. Everybody, we are all suffering of this. We always spend hours and hours debugging our applications. So it's really worth to take a look at this topic. We come up with a general framework or a model that provides you two simple operators to implement your data debugging task. We implement it on Spark, and we show that it's feasible with these two simple primitives to have most of the or all the data debugging tasks at a low cost that basically has a very low overhead, that is roughly 7%. That's all. Thank you.
We have some time for a couple questions.
Thanks for the talk. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
I wonder if, have you encountered any situations where the language that you've defined has been like too simple to accomplish some debugging task? Or has so far it been, you know, the sort of the tag sniff abstractions, those have been, you know, sufficient to handle most of the cases you've looked at?
Yes, good questions. In fact, for all the data debugging tasks that we try to implement and we found there on other papers and other studies, we could do it. And the simple reason is when you are debugging the data float applications, basically, if you don't have any tool, the main task that you do is go to your source code and write some, for example, if it's Java, some code of lines of code of Java to instrument that code, like a sysouts, take some times, and so on and so forth. And this is basically what the tag function is doing. So you can do it that for every single tuple. And in the sniff, it's basically saying what exactly to which tuples you need to react. So they are so general that, in fact, yes, you can cover all these tasks. However, the only point that we need to further investigate is about performance, because always generality comes at a cost. So we need to do more extensive studies on how these behave in performance-wise, yeah.
Other questions?
Hi, this is Mohammed from UCLA. So my question is that the overhead that you mentioned, which is 10%, is it does it remain steady for all the tags, the kind of tags that the user can write? Or is it specific to just certain types of tags? So for example, if you tag everything, then
yes,
I would assume that that's going to be a lot of overhead.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, this results is tagging everything. And okay. We're putting 4 to 5 annotations in all single tuple. But again, why this is very good in terms of overhead is because if you have two operators, let's assume these two operators, the tuple we're sending to the next operator is already without the annotations.
I see.
Because the sniffer intercepted before and cleaned it.
Thank you.
All right, let's have the next speaker come on up and we can take one more question in the meantime. I have a quick question.
Yes.
In terms of when you're doing this out-of-phase debugging, one of the arrows had going back fixed tuples. How does that work? Are you injecting some sort of automatic fix back in?
Yeah, yeah. So basically we implement that using Kafka. So in your data flow, but that is invisible to you, that the sniffer will have a Kafka producer. So every time we see a tuple that needs to be fixed, so we produce this tuple from the point of view of Kafka, we'll send to that queue, and there in out of place, you have a consumer that will fix that tuple either automatically or present it in a GUI to the user. And once the user decides this is fixed and want to reject it, it's the same story. So it's going to be a producer of Kafka that it will send to the main data flow that has a consumer of Kafka. And that is how we inject it back. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's thank the speaker again.